welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, as I'm looking east from my West State studio, looking literally out my eastern window, I see no sign whatsoever of the federal government or any government east of us that is going to unleash its grasp on its people and actually start restoring our liberties. As a matter of fact, what I see is an increase in our tyranny, an increase on taking away your liberties. They're ratcheting it up. They are insatiable in what they want to control. I mean, when you really look at it, it is all about control. They want to be able to compel you to live a life that is absolutely destructive. Remember, I've said this several times, that when you walk into the halls of your government, the one thing that you need to see, that your representatives need to see on a daily basis on those walls, is the primary objects of government is to protect life and property. And so by doing that, by maintaining a little focus on what they really should be doing, it should actually make them realize that some of the stuff that's being done above them has nothing to do with protecting life and protecting property. Your property rights. So, when it comes down to it, and as a matter of fact, Biden has even he's come right out and admitted that we're closer to Armageddon than ever before. Well, I've been telling you that. As a matter of fact, anybody that looks at the Bible, as time ticks on, we're just getting closer and closer. And he's one of those people that's trying to help propel us in that direction. But I don't believe that everything is going to go. It'll go as the Lord says, but I don't think it's going to go as the evil globalists want it to go. Their plan will be frustrated. They will not destroy Israel. Remember, one of the things I've commented on is this whole concept of, you know, everybody's focused on the Ukraine, like the Ukraine is a keystone in the globalist agenda. It is a distraction in the globalist agenda, because the globalist agenda is to destroy Israel. I mean, that is their number one focus. So why is it that right now nobody's focusing on that? As a matter of fact, what has to happen is this massive peace agreement that has to come out that Israel will basically convert its swords into plowshares. It will actually become a productive nation and, you know, put away its hunkering down in its defenses and so forth, and actually become a very wealthy and productive nation in a short period of time. And then this is when Gog and Magog will descend upon them. But anyway, we're not here to go through the Bible. We've been going through the Constitution. And in so doing, we have identified some very specific things. And I've got to go back through what I've done already. I've got to find that time, probably this weekend, to go through and add the petitions of what we really need to do to start restoring the concepts of what are the, those roles, responsibilities, and powers, getting the federal government back into those, I'll just say, that framework of the Constitution. So we need to start using petitions. And I'm going to get into, in this episode, the details in this, because I want you to understand why this whole First Amendment petition is a lot bigger than you think it is. It's right now, is it being ignored? Well, it's being ignored by government because they believe they can get away with it. because they believe that the majority of the people do not understand the fundamentals of a petition and its inalienable right. It is an inalienable right because when Adam and Eve was kicked out of the Garden of Eden, God commanded them to petition him, to pray to him and ask for those things that they need. As things transpired and as things went on, it was also viewed, the petitioning was also viewed as a way of holding people accountable. God held Cain accountable, didn't he? Didn't God go and petition Cain and say, why does thy brother's, spirit speak from the dust? In other words, why did you kill Abel? And really, I'm not here to do the sermon, but I'm trying to give you the historical context. When you start looking at this concept of basically challenging somebody and holding them accountable, or identifying that, if you live righteously, and there's blessings, you have a right to ask. And as a matter of fact, God tells us throughout the scriptures, ask and ye shall receive. Now, maybe we have to work on how we ask and what our expectations are, but many people have a strong conviction regarding the prayer and the concept of prayer, the concept of petitioning. Historically, in government, petitioning did everything for us. As a matter of fact, in the Magna Carta, in chapter 61 is where you'll find this right of petition granted unto the people. Folks, that's how far back the petition is galvanized in our government, that the people have a right to petition government for the redress of grievances. In other words, if government is doing things that they have no power to do, then we can petition them. Now, the law states that they have to respond. The law states that there are consequences if they fail to respond. In America, that law has transformed into a relief of taxes. You're not supposed to have to pay taxes if government fails to respond. Now, they're not honoring that. And as a matter of fact, the Supreme Court has come out on record to say, well, we think that this First Amendment right of petition is just, some concocted scheme of tax evasion. And we're not going to let you not pay us. You've got to pay it. I mean, that's the corner we've turned. You have to understand that even though they may not be honoring it, that doesn't matter, because all mankind shares his DNA. I don't care what race you are. I don't care what culture you are. We all share the Creator's DNA. And in other words, when we make an appeal, this is so powerful that when we make an appeal and we prove with empirical data that these are wrongs that we are suffering, then it will fill the bowels of humanity with the necessary, convictions to do the right thing. This has always been the case, and I'll give you a case in point. When you look at the Catholic Church and the apostasies that they were creating and actually exercising in teaching the gospel and administering the gospel, Martin Luther... Actually, before even Martin Luther came along, they knew that there were these things that were actual conflicts from the scriptures to what the Catholic Church was doing. And so when Martin Luther came along, he basically says, well, this isn't good enough knowing that these things are wrong. And so he actually said, we have to do everything we can to bring Christianity closer to the doctrine that's in the scriptures. And thus he started this crusade, and this his crusade ended up creating the Reformation and the Protestant faith. Now, let's look at what he did, though. What he did was he took each of the conflicts that the Catholic Church was creating against the Scriptures and what the Scriptures taught and what they should be doing. And so he created this long list of 95 petitions, called them theses back in those days, and he actually pinned this on the chapel door. What he did was he basically called out the Catholic Church that, hey, here's 95 things that the scriptures say is what we should be doing, and you're not doing it. Now, at that point in time, the majority of the people, there were people that understood what was going on, but not the majority of the people. And this made news. And it took another 10 years of time for Martin Luther, because what he had to do is he had to get the Bible printed and into the hands of the public so that the public could read for themselves the truth. And as they did, oh my, the people's bowels were filled with the conviction of doing the right thing. They realized that they were being manipulated, and the people woke up. I believe that the majority of Germany's... So, folks, fathom this. When we're talking about what he did, he just didn't take this little area away from the Catholic Church. He took a huge area, all of the states of Germany, the whole Rhineland, all of that, Poland, Czechoslovakia, all of those countries, all converted and stepped away from the Catholic Church. Now, the Catholic Church actually excommunicated him, and they put an order out for his life. But they dared not go into the Rhineland to try to capture him. They may have actually tried, and they may have blotched it. But bottom line, folks, we'll be right back after these two promos, because I don't want to bleed into it. We'll be right back on this. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so to be clear, as we look at what this guy Martin Luther was doing, he was real, and he wasn't trying to restore the church or anything like that, because actually Sir Isaac Newton kind of talked about this, because what he was doing, he was just trying to get Christianity closer to the truth of the Bible. And Ever since then, we've kind of been looking at, I'll just say, this concept of, you know, in Christianity, of trying to get closer and closer and closer. So this is why there's been so many reprints and changes of the Bible. and how certain Christian faiths have gone down these different reprints of the Bible. And the reason they've done that is because they've changed the meaning, they've changed the words, and the context. You know, in some cases they say, oh, well, no, we didn't do that. But, you know, when you change the words, you really did. Believe it or not, they really did change those things. And so it's important and imperative that when we start looking at, I'll just say, these concepts of Christianity and what Martin Luther was doing, well, that was a lot of work. But how did he do it? It was by petition. He petitioned the church first, and then line by line, issue by issue, he petitioned the people. And in the petitioning process, he converted their hearts and minds as they started seeing the truth. And they were convinced that what they were practicing was not the word of Christ. They were practicing, and fundamentally, they were practicing an abomination, an apostasy. So what he ended up doing was he won the hearts and minds, not of just the people, folks. He was so convincing that the princes and the royalties of the German Republic, or this large multinational, multi-country area, these multi-groups, because there was differences between the Poles and the Czechs and so forth. But even though they were all German, or they all kind of just expanded and they created their own nuances and cultures. But bottom line, folks, he won the hearts and minds of the people as well as those in the monarchy. Now, the monarchy is how all Western civilization was being managed and being ran. They didn't have democracy per se. They didn't have, well, they had republican forms of government, but they were monarchical. So in other words, they're, you know, just like Britain. When Britain, you know, was in colonization form, they had a monarchy, but they also had a republic, because they actually had different states and different sovereign states, and they had some representation, but the sovereign was not the Senate, or in this case, the Parliament. And so the sovereign was the king. And this is how it's always been. This is why, when you really look at the German government and the German constitution, Hitler pointed out in Mein Kampf that the problem with Germany and Germany's governance was the fact that the states had too much power in the German Republic. And he pointed out, when he came to power, he told the people that the states needed to relinquish their power so that he could do more at the national level in helping all of Germany. And boy, did he help all of Germany. He got them back on their feet economically, and actually started creating this vibrant economy along with this war machine. And they didn't see it coming, because he was able to consume, or actually pull in, all of the power into, you know, basically his court, or into his control. So anyway, when we start looking at the petitioning process, don't marginalize how powerful this is. Don't lose faith in your fellow man. Even though government will not acknowledge and actually enforce this, they will. You first have to get your local government to wake up. And in all honesty, you're not going to do that. In all honesty, because they look above you and say, there's no court that's going to listen to your petition, even if you prove that we're doing bad things. Ah, but they believe that the court and all of government above them can protect them from you. The reality is, they are completely vulnerable in the upcoming election. This is why you really have to create this collective conscience. You have to really start helping people understand at the county level how we can no longer afford to allow any public servant to violate their oath of office and their oath to the Constitution in supporting the Constitution. This is a very powerful message that we have to send. And we have to send it at the time of election. So there's a few things that need to happen that as we start organizing, or as you start organizing your county on this path of constitutional compliance, this is really simple. I mean, there are people that will be actually, you know, vigorously against the Constitution. They will really do anything and everything they can. As a matter of fact, Doug Gibbs has been dealing with that with Black Lives Matter and some of the Antifa groups down in the Riverside County. And Riverside County is really it's a pretty strong bastion. You've heard me say this before, that there are more Republicans in Riverside County than all of Massachusetts, in all of the Dakotas, Montana, Wyoming, you know, in Kansas probably even. I mean, you could go to a very wide breadth of these small population states in the heartland and look at Riverside County and go, there's that many Republicans there. In other words, there's a lot of people that could be really good allies. As a matter of fact, most Republicans could be real good allies. We have to get their eyes clear. You know, we got to clear their vision so that they can see that the party platform is the problem. Now, I was just speaking yesterday to a gentleman that is working on trying to get organized and trying to get these proper affiliations. And because the Republican Party is so corrupt, the best way to do this is to create an association with either the Independent American Party or the Constitution Party. And 9 times out of 10, you may find, except in a few different states, you may find that the Constitution Party has a stronghold. Now, in some cases, you'll find that the Constitution Party at the state level is unaffiliated with the Constitution Party at the national level. In other words, they've kind of gone down this path of creating their own. Well, if they want to disaffiliate themselves and stand alone, okay, well, why can't you create a Constitution Party to affiliate with the Constitution Party? And so what you can do is, it's almost like a coup or a civil war within the Constitution Party, because if you actually change the focus, and this is how you do this, folks, and this is how I was explaining this, you have to come up with your own state law or your state platform and state bylaws that actually tune everything to the Constitution. See, if you look at the National Constitution Party, and you look, because the National Constitution Party really gives you the latitude and freedom to do what you want, and these rogue parties, Oregon is one of them, Idaho's another one, and so when you, or Texas, there's quite a few, but anyway, these rogue parties that are out there, they are rogue parties typically because the person that, you know, kind of forced this change or this unaffiliation has their own agenda. In other words, their agenda isn't the Constitution. And in some cases, that you've heard me complain about the Constitution Party in that context. Well, the only way you're going to fix the Constitution Party and you're going to affiliate to the Constitution Party and get this at a national level is you actually have to do the right thing. And the right thing is changing your platform to focus strictly on the Constitution. You want to have a very succinct and simple platform. I'm telling you, if you get a millennial to read any platform today, their head will explode because it's just too many words and it is too judgmental and it is, you know, based on morality or based on what in their eyes, they look at the subjectivity because it's in some ways is too theological. The only way you can actually get them on board is to actually prove that the Constitution must be complied with. I mean, most anybody will agree that murdering babies is absolutely wrong, but it's wrong on different levels. Do you want to focus on the moral level? Do you want to focus on the theological level? Or do you want to focus on the legal level? Because on the legal level, you're going to win this argument, and you're going to get them to actually say, yeah, I can support that. Because when they start going down the theological, they go, well, I'm not of that faith, or I don't see it that way, you know. However, when you look at the legal level, abortion is not federally controlled. It is not delegated to the federal government. They have no business having anything to do with abortion. And therefore, it's a usurpation. We'll be right back after these two promos.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as I was just saying, when we start actually using First Amendment petitions, and we know that the government, because we got to set expectations, right? I want you to understand the government is not going to do anything. They're going to ignore you, and they think that they're protected because if you demand, because go read these petitions, you're calling for them to step down. You're calling for them to be removed in accordance with the supreme law of the land. And this goes back to what I've been saying. I believe that most all people, when they realize that there is this inseparable link in the Constitution with the oath of office and the removal of a person, immediate removal of a person when they fail to support the Constitution. In other words, when they violate that oath, then they are no longer fit or qualified to be a public servant and must be removed. It doesn't say anything about due process. It doesn't say anything that you've got to go into an impeachment or some trial. You are to be removed. And so this is where the people have to start demanding both that they be accountable and that they be removed. And so eventually the petitions we will be getting to, you know, eventually one of the petitions you will be putting is you will demand the power be given to the people to remove them. And they're not going to want to do this. But folks, everybody, most everybody in your county is going to hear and see the truth that you're going to be telling them, because you're basing all of this on the Constitution. Just like Martin Luther based everything he was doing was based on the Bible. And so when you actually prove to the people that the doctrines and what our government is doing is antithetical to what they're supposed to be doing, the people will demand reformation. They will demand things get back in a line. And so what we have to do is we have to do this as a collective conscience, as I was saying. So the two most important things that you need at the county level is a constitutional compliance committee and a First Amendment petition management committee. The First Amendment Petition Management Committee will basically work on the First Amendment petitions that you have processed and actually watch the workflow, because each of these petitions will be going to your county commissioners. And to be clear, they'll only go to your county commissioners or a lower level. Like if you've got problems with your city, yeah, you can use First Amendment petitions. But we want to focus on cleaning up your county commissioners, because if you've got problems with the city, you've got problems like in Montana, in Park County, they've got problems with Livingston and the city council and the mayor. They're trying to annex the property around them. Well, the level that can actually stop them would be the county. That's where you would go first. And then the county could basically go to the state and say, hey, this should not be happening. If that's the case, then the small town outside of the capital can annex the capital. You cannot just annex. You cannot just change names and say you're now ours. You have to get the people to buy in. You know, governments are formed by men, and if you're living in an unincorporated area and a city says, we want you to be a part of our government, they can't force that upon you. You actually have to go, you know, collectively as the body of people of the area they're trying to annex and vote and determine whether you will be incorporated or not. And I do not like this mob rule mentality. I do not like this concept of being able to actually, you know, inflict the will of, you know, the majority over the minority. So in other words, it can't just be a 50% plus one. We need to actually start addressing this. And I'm going down a rat hole on this, but this is one of the problems with the states. We actually have to stop this mob rule mentality, this democracy form of government, the amendment process and so forth. And we kind of talked about this, but let me get back to what you have to do with this petition management. Now that you've got this petition management, you're actually going to be able to identify, because all of these petitions will stand. They don't expire. And as more and more people come to the realization that their government does not care about them, they don't really represent them, then they'll start signing all of these petitions. And as they sign these petitions, you'll be able to go back into your county meeting and you'll be able to update them. Well, we got 50 more signatures on this petition, 50 more signatures, and you still haven't done anything. In other words, you're going to be the insistent bother to letting them know that we know what they're doing and the sentiments of the people are growing against them. By the time it comes to election time, this petition management will absolutely be, you know, overwhelming them, that there's a good chance that most of them won't run. I mean, when you look at Congress, willingly, when we saw 40 representatives, most of them Republican, in Congress actually just say, you know what, I'm not going to run. There's something behind that. That doesn't happen unless they know that something bad is going to happen to them. And it's better to just bow out gracefully than it is to either be exposed or to actually have to lose, you know, mercilessly in a campaign. And so the fact of the matter is that this petition management committee will be basically locking horns with your county commissioners, and they are going to actually prove that they don't deserve to be in office. Don't be surprised that some of these folks that you're locking horns with in the county commissioners or county supervisors, whichever it is, that they actually just resign because you're pointing them out. And, you know, they ran a campaign and many people in the county just think, get out. The pressure may actually cause them to resign. So here's the other thing. Going back to this Constitution Compliance Committee, because remember I said that's the first thing you have to have. This Constitution Compliance Committee is actually going to be feeding the ideas of the petitions and so forth and actually helping educate the people on, you know, what these issues are. And that actually occurs from the petitions as well. When people actually look, so there's this huge tight relationship between these two functions of your constitutional county movement of constitutional compliance. You have to understand what that constitution is. So one of the first things you have to do is you have to definitize the constitution. I'm here to help. And what we're trying to do is we're actually trying to get a state to do this first. I've got a few organizations that are willing to cooperate, but right now we're dealing, it seems like we're always dealing with the problem du jour, like the campaign and this election. It would be great if I could actually find a group of people that recognized the urgency in definitizing the constitution, because if we definitize the constitution, then it makes it easier for somebody to go through our work, cross the T's, dot the I's, and maybe there's something we're missing. Maybe there's something we got wrong. But bottom line is, as it goes through review, it will get better, it will get tighter, and the intent is to make it so that the judges will no longer be able to use opinion on what the Constitution says. They will actually have to cite out of the ratification debates or out of the source documents themselves, not interpreting the Constitution, but citing exactly how the framers described it, not citing case law. When I say framers, I'm talking about those men that were defining the Constitution during the ratification debates, because those are the only legally binding terms and definitions. A jurist does not have the authority to redefine something in the Constitution that was already defined. So when we create these two committees, it'll start off maybe with one committee. Maybe you won't have a lot of people to get started. What will give you people, what will bring people into your organization is submitting the petitions to them. Go into your Republican Central Committee party meeting. They meet usually once a month. Go into any meeting that you possibly can of patriots and say, I have some petitions and I'd like to explain this to you, and I explain what we're going to be doing with these. They will be blown away. Because when you show them how many petitions that need to be written and you need help in this, they're going to realize that this is a method to actually expunging bad, corrupt politicians and getting good people in. Now, the Constitution Compliance Committee will actually serve an additional focus in helping train people to understand how to be compliant to the Constitution so that they will be ready to be public servants, so that they will actually sign. And what you want is people that are going to be running on a campaign to do exactly what Paul Venable has done. This is why Paul Venable needs your love. Give him some, help him out with getting some cash to him, sending him contributions to getting him around, because he actually has started off his campaign by saying if he violates his oath of office, he will resign and step down. He banks, you know, the integrity of himself based on his support for the Constitution and his oath of office. This is what we need, folks. We need politicians to say, I am here to serve and support the Constitution. Technically, they're not supposed to be serving us and giving us money or doing those things. In their support of the Constitution, they are serving us because they're protecting our liberties. And there's nothing more sacred than that support for the Constitution and supporting our liberties. We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I want you to understand one little thing, and this won't hurt your head at all. This will actually make sense. There's a reason why Republican parties in blue states and Republican parties in purple states and light red states, you know, are not and actually are very hostile towards constitutional compliance, because they realize that constitutional compliance takes away their ability to do what they want done in controlling you, because it's all about control. This is why at the national level, the Republican Party is so corrupt that they want you to think that it's about conservative ideas, but it's about conservative control. And control on in any direction, left or right, is evil. Liberty is what we're supposed to have. We're supposed to have individual sovereignty and individual liberty. On all things not delegated to government, you should be able to have those controls. And as a matter of fact, there are constraints on what can be delegated to government at this point in time. And so when we look at the party and we look at purple states, blue states, and or, you know, like I said, light red, even in some dark red states where the Republican Party is absolutely corrupt, but the people still get good politicians, like in South Dakota. I mean, many of the politicians that I know in South Dakota complain about the Democrat who's the chair of the Republican Party and the agenda of the Republican Party under that tyrant's rule. And so the only way you can actually start invoking these changes is, like I was telling you, at the county level, and exposing to the Republican Party at the county level the importance of constitutional compliance using these First Amendment petitions. So this is where I believe we actually create a merge, or a, because what has to happen is we actually have to start merging parties. We have to start merging everything and uniting everything on the Constitution. If it's an organization that wants to support, you know, women's rights over everything else, then that organization should be trampled over and done with. Anything that is trying to put a demographic over everything else, whether it be race, whether it be gender, it doesn't matter. I mean, look at, this is how divisive this whole process of party and factions are within the party. I mean, the Republican Party has, you know, women Republicans. They have young Republicans. They have black, Hispanic. I mean, those are all factions, folks. This is why when you go into the county and say, you need to shut this concept down. You need to get away from enabling and making people think that, you know, their little faction is welcome here. The only thing that is welcome here is the support of the Constitution, because the Constitution doesn't have any respect or regard for any of these demographic factions. It is all about individual liberty and individual sovereignty. As some have said, whenever you put your focus in front of everybody else, that makes you a divisive person and trying to actually promote you over everything else. I mean, that is what Black Lives Matter does. That's what all, La Raza, that's what all of these groups do. And they appeal. Oh, this is very appealing to the individuals, and I hate to say this, but they're the weak-minded individuals that feel like they need an advantage. They feel like they deserve this self-promotion because, oh, well, you know, we've had such a hard time. You know what? Every day things change. Every day everybody has to struggle a little bit more in a little different ways and so forth. And in this republic, all people are supposed to have equal opportunity. It may not be happening, but it's only not happening just due to the fact of these divisive groups. Don't tell me the blacks have not had an advantage. Look at education with with affirmative action. Look at some of the housing and those types of things where, you know, if you go in and you apply for a loan, you apply for school, you have an advantage. Certain groups should not have any advantages. All should have equal access. And in academics, the criteria of competition should be based on your level of academics, not your level of your gender or your race. Well, this woman's more of a woman than this woman. Or this black is more of a black than that black. Are you kidding me? That's how divisive this all is. So when you go into these organizations, you basically prove that the Constitution keeps us from doing these things. Why is it that we allow our parties? Why is it that we allow these organizations to penetrate us in a civil society to actually allow us to be divided? One of the adages that you have to keep in mind is united we stand, divided we fall. And if we unite on the Constitution, everybody wins. If we continue to divide ourselves over these issues, and this is why I keep pointing out, and I say this a lot, anybody that, you know, blames their representatives for not focusing on their issue, the person that has myopic issues is really the problem. The reason our representatives, because there's so many people that have myopic issues, that the representatives are they're cloudy. They can't see straight. They don't know what to focus on because everybody has their own little pet peeve, from critical race theory, abortion, Second Amendments, health freedom, so forth and so on. Folks, No wonder they can't do their job. If everybody said constitutional compliance, that's what you have to do. You have to comply to the Constitution. You got to quit, you know, taking money that's unconstitutional. You have to stop supporting unconstitutional government. You need to become the warrior in making all government and all people in government constitutionally compliant. We need, you know, watch standards. We need people to name names. We need people to actually stand up and say, this is wrong. This is a violation of our Constitution. And this is how we actually start turning it around. And we can do it at the county very easily. When it comes down to mass control, when we look at those who are, you know, creating these favors, even in your voting system, the only things that they're focused on right now, because they can't, it boggles their minds to get down into each of these races. And so you can easily overturn. This is why so many red counties are still red. Folks, I'm appealing to you so that you can start understanding how you can really be a part of the solution. So this type of content and understanding the Constitution and going through the Constitution, through all the details, through, you know, every nuance, line by line, this is how you can start understanding. This is why it's so important that we do these things. I would beg anybody, I've actually offered several people to come on this show to actually contribute to helping understand and helping define, even if you don't understand. You know, this is a great opportunity to learn. And then you could ask questions. I've had a lot of people that have said, you know, I'd like to get some exposure, but I can't get them to come on. Folks, remember, the dumb question is the question never asked. You know, I know that this show, notoriously, for years and years, it's just hard to get people on to come on or even call. Sometimes it's even hard. I get emails, but it's hard to get people to call because I think many people just don't want to, you know, sound stupid. Come on, let's get over ourselves. I know that sometimes when I'm trying to say the right thing, I mess it up. So sometimes it comes off completely wrong. I make mistakes. We all do. And, you know, bottom line is, I'm not here trying to deliberately or with intention trying to mislead anybody. I am really trying to do the right thing. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to help educate and invigorate you and help work with you. I don't want you to follow me. I want to work with you. I want to work with all of America in getting all of America engaged in taking back their government. And it has to start at the local level. This is why you have to get these patriot movements engaged and invigorated by educating them and helping them see how they are the problem. You know, only God knew. Let me just wrap up with this. Only God knew what we would be suffering and what we would have to deal with in these days. And I am here to tell you, He gave us everything we need right here in the Constitution, from the oath of office to the First Amendment right of petition for the redress of grievances, to Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, by being able to remove every public servant who has failed to support their oath of office and allow the Constitution to be violated with rebellious movements. Regardless of the size or magnitude, rebellion is rebellion, and it is it's perjury. Folks, we can do this. And I know we can. And if we act on faith, we're going to be blessed. Prove me wrong this day that if you don't start acting on faith on the Constitution and what He gave us, and we start doing these things, prove me wrong that He won't bless you. I'd love to be proved wrong, and I know you can't, because He's blessed everybody in the course of history. We'll be back. I'm J.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, folks, and we need your help. God bless.
Case after case, and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.